But for another Sunday morning, for another day in our lives, for the bright sky, clear sky, not a smoky sky, and also praise be to God for His grace, for His gift of eternal life, for the freedom of worship we still can enjoy in this beautiful and vast land of Canada. Welcome, welcome. It's your first time, second time, welcome. And I have an idea because I'm not getting younger. As I looked around, I forgot some names. You'll have to reintroduce yourself to me after the service. That's what happened. Whenever we see Adam and Eve in heaven, we'll have a very interesting conversation with them, right? Because they lived in paradise. Everything was perfect, and they still committed that sin. But anyways, that being said, let us bow for the word of prayer. But before that prayer, let us open the scripture, John chapter 4, and let's read it in our Bibles. If you have the scripture either on your phone or in printed hard format, will you please turn to John chapter 4, verses 27 to 45. I know it's a little bit of a challenge, but if you're able, will you please rise on your feet for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, verses 27 to 45. And at this point, His disciples came, and they were marveling that He was speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek? Or why are you speaking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to Him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest?' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Even now, he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word of the woman who bore witness. He told me of all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." And after the 2 days, He went from there into Galilee. For Jesus Himself bore witness that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when they came to Galilee, when He came to Galilee, the Galileans received Him, having seen all the things that He did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves also went to the feast. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to learn about you, about your plan of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world to become the Savior for so many people from every tribe, from every nation in this world. And thank you, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, for your ongoing 24/7 work in the human hearts. Lord, the words cannot express, our minds cannot comprehend how great, how loving, how merciful you are. Thank you for being such a great Savior, the only Savior for us and those lives who are already believing souls. And Lord, we're praying for the salvation of every precious soul that has not reconciled with you yet. Come, Lord Jesus, and save those people and answer our prayers, because the time is running out short and your second coming is getting nearer. And according to your word, the second time you're coming to this world as a superior judge, as a holy judge. Lord, we want to be our friends, our relatives to be condemned and burned forever in the lake of fire. We want them to be saved, to experience the glory, the bliss of heaven in your holy presence. Come, Lord Jesus, and bless us and answer our prayers and bless this message and help us to bear much spiritual fruit in our lives. That's what we ask and pray for. In Jesus' name, in the name of the only Savior of the world, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of this message, it didn't take me long, to be honest, because this is quite a text. This is quite a passage in the Gospel of John. It's what it is, the Savior of the world. And our text is recorded in John chapter 4, verses 27 to 45. In John chapter 4, verse 28, that's where we stopped last Sunday, Jesus said to her, to the Samaritan woman, I who speak to you am he. In this verse, John 4, 26, the Lord Jesus openly revealed himself as the Messiah to the Samaritan woman whom he met at Jacob's well near Sychar. The woman had come to draw, I'm just reminding you of the context, to draw physical water, H2O, but she found living water from the source of life himself. God in human flesh was there. Having acknowledged her sin and her need for a Savior, the Samaritan woman confirmed her faith by immediately witnessing about Christ to others in her village. Verse 29, let me just read it one more time. Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ? She went back to her village and she became the first witness in that village about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she became probably the first ever recorded, clearly recorded missionary, that Samaritan woman, who shared her faith with the residents of her town or village. John 4, 27 to 42 described the event that happened following Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman. This text in John 4 is the first recorded example of cross-cultural evangelism in the New Testament, when the message, the gospel, was brought to the Samaritans. They were hybrid Jews. They were, if you remember the context, they were so despised by the Jews, especially from Judea, from Jerusalem area. They took them, they considered them their enemies. John 4 foreshadows the later spread of the good news to the Samaritans and the Gentiles after most Israelites rejected salvation and the Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, in Luke 14, 16 to 24, you can read about that. In our text this Sunday morning, we're going to focus on three important New Testament teachings, such as personal evangelism, sharing the wonder of salvation with others, then the most satisfying food, obedience to the will of God, the principles of God's kingdom's growth, the sower, the harvest, and the reapers. And finally, the proclamation of Jesus as the Savior of the world by believing Samaritans. Let's go to this text. Point number one of this message sounds like this. The personal evangelism, sharing of the wonder of salvation with others. And I hope you remember, I hope you do, I still remember that the Lord God has used some Christians, some people in your past to explain, to bring the good news to your heart, to your mind. I hope you remember the names, the last names of those people whom the Lord God had brought to your life by his grace and mercy. Like in our case, speaking for Laura and myself, the Lord used quite a few people, Ukrainians, British Christians, German Christians, Canadian Christians, American Christians. Lots of prayers were said for the sake of our salvation. And later on, one of the brothers, I think he was from Minnesota, United States, he shared with me that he had been praying, his family had been praying for our salvation for a few years. So, remember those people and give thanks to God for their faithfulness, for their humility, for their love and boldness to share their faith, their Christian faith, with us, with you. So there's no wonder that the disciples were in a state of amazement when they returned from their errand to the town of Sychar, and they found Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. It was unheard of. It was unbelievable. The rabbis taught at that time, just giving you some cross-cultural context of the time, the rabbis taught at that time that no one should talk to a woman in the street, not even with his own wife. So next time, if you walk before in front of our beautiful Skinner ball with your wife, with your spouse, and if you're speaking to your wife, remember and give thanks and praises to God that we live in a different time and we don't have such traditions. The rabbis despised women and thought of them as incapable of receiving any real teaching. Nowadays, if we had some teachers in Christian churches, they would be killed, stoned, crucified, burned alive for teaching anything like that. But there were times, some rabbis said, better than the words of the law should be burned than delivered to women. And here in John 4, the Lord Jesus is taking the barriers down. He was talking to the Samaritan woman. In fact, he was talking to the adulterous woman, to the social scum of that society, of that community. Remember, those women, adulteresses, they were at the same level socially as prostitutes, as harlots. And Jesus was talking to her, bringing the message of salvation to her heart. No wonder that his disciples were so amazed, were so surprised. Read verse 20. I'm just reading verse 28. So the woman left her water jar and went into the city and said to the men. Now I'm asking you, the congregation, this question. Why on earth did that woman leave her water jar behind her? Do we have an answer in the text? Why did she leave her water pot or water jar to rush to the village? Why did she do that? Does anyone have a good answer? Be humble and courageous and brave at the same time. I know it's a hard balance. But why did she leave her water jar to go back to the village? She came, remember the purpose? The reason she came, to fill it up, to draw water out of the well. She was thirsty, her household was thirsty, and she made quite a distance to that well. Why did she leave her water jar behind her?
She was bringing back living water.
Living water. Good answer. Excellent. Anybody else? Living water. Anybody else? Her scale of priorities has changed. She came willing and just, she was eager to get physical water out of the well. But during that conversation, bit by bit, the Lord creator of the entire universe, the savior of the world, was transforming her heart. And she, her mindset, her way of thinking got changed. That's what happens. That's what happened to millions and millions of people across the world when they experience real transformation, salvation in their lives. However, the fact that she left her water jar showed one thing. She might have been in a hurry to share her extraordinary experience of meeting the Messiah, Mashiach, at the well with others in her village. Without any doubt, the Samaritan woman was amazed at Jesus' ability to see into her heart. And there's a scripture recorded in the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. That's what the text says. O Yahweh, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are immediately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Yahweh, you know it all. This is the God we believe in. This is Creator God, God of the Holy Scripture. He knows all our thoughts. He can read our thoughts. He knows everything about our dreams and heart desires. God has the power to see into the depths of the human heart. What did the Samaritan woman do in the village? Verses 29 and 30. Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. The first heart's desire of the woman was to share her discovery with others. This is a big spiritual lesson for all of us right here. We cannot communicate Jesus Christ to others until we have discovered Him, the Savior, for ourselves. You got it to be saved. You got it to rejoice in your heart about your salvation, to share this joy of salvation with other people. That very desire to tell others of your discovery nullified in the woman the feeling of her human shame as a social outcast. Remember who she was, that woman. She was despised, ignored. She was gossiped behind her back. She was not enjoying a high reputation in her community. She was a scum in that community. But here she is. She returned to her village, and she began sharing her joy, her excitement, her discovery with all residents of that town. A person may hide his sin, but once he discovers Jesus as Savior, his first instinct is to tell other men, look at what I was and look at what I am now. This is what Christ, the Savior, has done to me. Someday, that's a suggestion. I did not negotiate it with our elders, but at some point, I have been involved in this worship service in Swan River, Manitoba. We decided, three pastors of NAB churches, Baptist churches, to have the Sunday evening service to share our personal testimonies, how God saved us, how we became believers. And I remember I was the double, triple pagan as compared to other Baptist ministers because they grew up in Christian families and their grandparents were Christians. I was a little bit even ashamed of sharing my testimony. But that was a great practice. It was a great service to tell the congregation. We had a common service. People came from three churches to listen and hear the story of salvation of their ministers. So someday, let's hear Stan, Andrew, and Vlad, how the Lord found and saved them. It was unbelievable. It's the miracle of all miracles when a spiritually dead person becomes alive by the grace of God. Look at what I was, and look at what I am now. This is what Christ, the Savior, has done to me. Just to give you an idea, if you met Vlad, maybe Stan, maybe Andrew, 30, 35 years ago, you would be scared of them, you would be horrified, you would run away to the opposite side of the street. Am I right, Stan? Am I right, Andrew? Yeah. And for me, for sure, you would run away two streets away 35 years ago. It's only the grace of God, His love, His grace. Another thing must be mentioned about the Samaritan woman. When we consider how little spiritual biblical truth that woman knew, her zeal and witness may put us to shame. We have the entire canon of the scripture, the whole Bible in our hands, in different English translations, in our native languages, from Genesis to Revelation, and often we're still shy or afraid or scared to share our faith with our friends, relatives, and neighbors. But that woman, she was bold, she was courageous. God used her simple testimony of the adulterous woman, and many of the village residents came out to the well to meet the Savior. Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary. By the way, where did he serve? Where was he from, Hudson Taylor? Where did he serve? It's one of the most famous missionaries ever lived on the surface of this planet. Where did Hudson Taylor serve? Which country? China. Good job. Read about him, Google about him, not right now, after the service. He said many years ago, Hudson Taylor, a missionary in China, some are jealous to be successors of the apostles. I would rather be success of the Samaritan woman who, while they went for food, apostles, forgot her water pot in her zeal for souls. What a nice quote. What a comparison. The apostles went to get physical food, but this Samaritan woman even left her water jar to tell the good news about the Messiah to other people. the Samaritan woman was the least likely prospect for salvation, yet El Shaddai used her to win many people in the village for Christ. So what happened next in the account we're studying this Sunday morning? Point number two. The most satisfying food is doing God's will. So my dear ones, those who are already Christians, that should be a lesson for us all. This is our most satisfying food, to do the will of our God, of our Savior. Not our dessert, not our steak, not our fish, not our chips, but doing the will of our Heavenly Father. So verses 31 to 34. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." When the disciples returned with the food, they encouraged the Lord Jesus to eat. "Rabbi, eat." Their thoughts could not rise higher than food for their physical bodies. Jesus' reply to his disciples in verse 32 may have baffled them. Verse 32, one more time. "I have food to eat that you do not know about." The Lord said something which had a spiritual meaning. Nicodemus had misunderstood Jesus before. The Samaritan woman had not been able to comprehend the truth about salvation and eternal life when Jesus was talking to her about spiritual living water. Now Jesus' own disciples had no clue what Christ was referring to. Verse 33. So the disciples were saying to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And the disciples were thinking about earthly things. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The Lord of glory, God in human flesh, taught his followers a lesson of this critical spiritual truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3. And can we say in the full faith, amen? Do you remember the episodes, the moments in your Christian life when you forgot about your breakfast, about your meal, because you were just swallowing, enjoying, reading, studying God's Word? Do you remember the episodes in your Christian life when you forgot to have a meal and you were singing praises and hymns to the Lord? I hope you had some moments in your life that you even forget about your physical food. You're so excited to worship your Savior, Christ the King, that you're like, "Oh yeah, I'll have my meal later." It's a great experience. It's a spiritual Christian, biblical experience, which all Christians at some point in life experience. Jesus called the same words to Satan during his temptation in the wilderness in Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And by the way, speaking of God's word, the time is coming. I would highly recommend you, just don't postpone it. As long as we can, download as many Christian resources, biblical resources, as much as possible. If you can, as much as you can, buy some Christian literature, resources, books, gospel tracts, because maybe the days are coming we will not be able to do so. You will go to this Christian website, it's blocked, it's banned, it's red flagged. You want to buy good Christian book? The Christian stores are Christian bookstores are closed. You want to go and buy something online? Banned, you cannot go. The days are coming, and there's a verse in the Bible, when people will be hungry, starving for the truth of God's word. But it's not there. It's not available anymore. It is hard to get it. And people will have to spend many days looking and seeking where they can find the truth of God's word. Doing God's will by proclaiming the truth to a lost sinner gave the Lord Jesus far more satisfaction than any physical food. Job, in Job 23:12, said the following words. Job 23:12, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. According to the Gospels, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ lived in complete obedience with the Father's will until his cry of triumph on the cross in John 19:30, it is finished, which marked the accomplishment of his mission on earth. In the following verses, 35 to 38, the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples about the principles of God's kingdom's growth, the sower, the harvest, and the reapers. That's point number three of this message, verses 35 to 38. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Even now, he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Bible commentators and scholars assume that Jesus quoted a known proverb in verse 37. One sows, another reaps. One sows, another reaps. Let me give you some historical and cultural context of Christ's words in verses 35, 36, and 37. The Jews at that time had a six-fold division of the agricultural year. Each division lasted for 2 months, seed time, winter, spring, harvest, summer, and the season of extreme heat. That's how they divided the year. Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you sow the seed, you must wait for at least 4 months before you can hope to begin to reap the harvest. And people of his time, they were able to understand clearly his words. The fields took 4 months to grow, but in Samaria, right there, that day, in Samaria, there was a harvest for the reaping now. Here's a contrast between the physical worlds of seeds and plants and the spiritual realm. In the ordinary harvest, people sowed and waited, sowed and waited. In Samaria, things had happened so quickly that the word was sown on the spot where the harvest waited. The Lord Jesus showed how this incredible thing had happened. The sower and the harvester could rejoice at the same time. In the agricultural realm, the same farmer who sows the seed usually reaps the harvest, usually. However, in the spiritual realm, it is different. Verses 37 and 38, it's pretty amazing. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Others had sowed the seed in the Samaritan hearts. To some extent, we may even include Moses in the Old Testament, John the Baptist, and Jesus himself. Yet the disciples of Christ would have the privilege of harvesting. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, a verse in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Therefore, that's why in the church family, we desperately need one another. We need the spiritual gifts. We're gifted differently by the Holy Spirit to serve one another and to serve the needs of people in the community. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. My dear ones, I'm encouraging all of you, including myself. It is time, and the time is right now, to pray for the churches in Canada, to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his harvest. Why am I saying that? Because right now I think we're the country, the population of Canada is around 41 million people. How many of those people are genuinely saved from God's coming judgment? How many Canadians are on the way to heaven, not on the way to hell? The Lord knows. But we would say, we would guess that there are quite a majority of people, they don't care. They do not love Jesus. They do not love His Word. They just live for themselves and they live for their idols, basically. Historically, many missionaries, church planters, never saw the harvest. Some of them, in fact, many died as martyrs, but the blood of the Christian martyrs became the seed of the church. Now we're coming to the most exciting parts of the passage recorded in John chapter 4, verses 39 to 45. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who bore witness. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." And after the 2 days, he went from there into Galilee. For Jesus himself bore witness that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves also went to the feast. Point number four, the proclamation of Jesus as the Savior of the world by believing Samaritans. In the events that happened in that Samaritan town or village, we can see the pattern by which the gospel so often spreads in this world. A, there was an introduction to the good news. The residents of the village were introduced to Christ by the Samaritan woman. Romans 10:14 says, "How will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" God delivers his message of salvation to those who have never heard it unless there is someone to deliver it. It is our precious privilege and huge responsibility to bring men to Jesus Christ. Personal witness about Jesus is very, very important. B, there was growing knowledge of the Lord and his message. Once the Samaritans had been introduced to Jesus, they were seeking his company. They asked the Lord to stay with them, verse 40, for 2 days. An introduced person must go on to discover Jesus Christ for himself. The time came in your life, in my life, the time would come to any person who is on the way to salvation that you need to discover Jesus Christ for yourself. We must enjoy the fellowship with Jesus ourselves at a very personal, at a very deep heart level. C, there was discovery of Jesus and surrender to him. The Samaritans discovered in Jesus Christ the Savior of the world. Just listen one more time, this verse 42. And they were saying to that woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." The Samaritans discovered the Savior. Jesus was and is the Savior of this world. He rescued people from the evil and hopeless situation in which they found themselves. Christ broke the chains that bound sinners to the past and gave them a power and a presence which enabled the converts to face the future. And I'm sure, my dear ones, you have met people in your life, former drug addicts, former alcoholics, former adulterers, former pornography lookers or watchers, former thieves, former murderers who became Christians, who were saved by God's grace and mercy, and now their lives are so radically different because of the transforming power of the gospel. In fact, coming back to our text, the Samaritan woman was a great example of Jesus' saving power. There is no adequate title to describe Jesus except the title, the Savior of the world. Many of the Samaritans believed because of the testimony of the woman. So then, many more believed when they heard Jesus Christ personally. The Samaritans were so excited that they asked the Lord Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. During that short time, Christ's word produced fruit in their lives. Verses 43, 44, and 45. And after the 2 days, he went from there into Galilee, for Jesus himself bore witness that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. The Lord Jesus went north to Galilee. All three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell of the saying of Jesus that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Matthew 13:57, Mark 6:4, Luke 4:24. And verse 44 seems to present some difficulty. Galilee was his own country, since Nazareth was located there. Probably what verse 44 means is that Jesus went into some other parts of Galilee other than Nazareth. In any case, this statement is often true, that a prophet is not usually appreciated as much in his own town as compared to other places. In verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Many Galileans believed in Jesus because they had seen Jesus performing miracles in Jerusalem. They were the eyewitnesses of his authority and power. Now, what have we discovered this Sunday morning in our text recorded in John chapter 4, verses 27 to 45? Conclusion application. Number one, through his conversation with a Samaritan woman, the Lord Jesus gave a whole non-Jewish village the opportunity to receive salvation. John 1:29 says, remember the words of John the Baptist about Christ. On the next, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus did not come to save Israel alone. And praises be to God. Even in our church, we have people with different backgrounds from different countries, different ethnicities in this world. The Lord Jesus did not come to save Israelites alone. Two, most people have heard the gospel many times before they ever believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Most people have to hear it so many times. So do not be discouraged. Please, do not be discouraged. Continue faithfully to pray for the salvation of your loved ones, of people whom you have known for years. Don't give in, don't give up. People need to hear over and over and over again. God can use you as his instrument in his marvelous work of salvation. Three, the unnamed Samaritan woman, by the way, we never discovered her name in heaven. Whenever you ask yourself, what am I going to do in heaven forever and ever in all eternity? We'll figure out. But first we need to get there, right? The unnamed Samaritan woman was a fruitful follower of Jesus. She bore fruit. No one knows how many lost sinners came to the Savior because of the witness of the testimony of this woman recorded in Gospel of John chapter 4. Three, the spiritual food doing the will of God is much more important than physical food. Five, whether you are a sower or harvester, stay faithful and joyful in the work of the Lord. And there's a verse on this subject, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let this verse be a great source of encouragement for all of us this week and the weeks to come and the weeks to follow. We're called to do what we can do, and God has given us enough power, resources to continue His work of bringing salvation, good news to the lives of many, many people around us. Let us pray and give God the glory that this one is truly the Savior of the world, and His name is Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you so much for this episode in your word in the Gospel of John. Thank you for saving that Samaritan woman and for your glorious plan of salvation that saved people, new converts, converted people. They're so excited about their new life in you that they go out to this world and share the good news with others. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work, for convicting and convincing sinners of their need of the Savior, that anyone can repent of his or her sins and put all trust, his or her trust, in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The doors of salvation are still open. The good news is being preached and taught and explained in this world where we live. It is still a very pleasant time. It's a time of God's grace, extended God's grace to many, many Canadians to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. Lord, help us to cherish our time and count our days wisely. Because what is a human life? It is a mist, it is a vapor that comes for a very short time. But meanwhile, Lord, thank you so much for encouraging us from this text to continue our walk of faith. And thank you for a clear call in this text to go and tell others that the tomb is empty, that we believe in the risen, living Savior. And you're coming again soon, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you called us to stay faithful and joyful on the track. Lord, bless us the rest of this service and the rest of this day, the rest of our lives, to focus on what is more important, on eternal things, not in our physical food. Because physical food is so temporary. Spiritual food is eternal. It's forever. That's what we ask and pray for. In Jesus' name, in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.